Welcome back to the Sexual Healing Podcast, From Top to Bottom. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Pookie, and at my side is...
Mr. Dark Boy is here.
Oh, are we Mr. this week? Well, now.
This week I'm Mr.
Okay, well, you know, all boys have to grow up.
I guess so.
So how was your week?
My week was actually, busy at work as usual, but I am so, the countdown to the cruise, it's like, oh, please, oh. You know, I want to be on the ship, I want to be eating whatever, I want to be in the sun, I want to not be responsible for stuff for a couple days, so really looking forward to that, so.
Oh, yes, because, you know, unlike Dr. Pookie, Mr. Dark Boy's vegetarian adventure actually did begin and has continued.
Yes.
Whereas I do believe...
But it might end on this cruise.
Yeah, I mean, I think the day that I was supposed to start, I ended up with my lips wrapped around some hot wings. So it was all very tragic. And I will admit that up front, you know. my pledge.
Yes, how was your week, though?
Yeah. yeah, I'm still on slave detail.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I didn't know whether I was coming or going much of the week. It was just nuts. But it's a lot of stuff popping, so that's a good thing. I am hoping to get back to work on my novel because I have been dragging on that. And we'll see. But also, there's just a lot of stuff going on with the business, and so it's a blessing. It's all a blessing, but a brother is wiped out. I am in the post-event malaise this morning.
Yes.
Yeah, the struggle is real. I've been up for about, over 2 hours now, and I still feel like I'm still in the bed. I'll put it that way.
But you get some coins, so that's good.
Yes, I'm getting coins. I actually walked out of the event last night with an envelope full of money. Yeah, I was, you know, we basically, for our consulting fee, we walked away with much of the ticket money, the take. For the evening, so that was nice. So I don't have to invoice for that, but I probably will just for records. But it was just, you know, my client was like, "Well, just let them have that," and I said, "Oh." And then I was sitting there doing the math in my head again because I had forgotten already, you know, what our percentage was, and I said, "Oh yeah, that's about right, actually. Yeah, we'll take that." And so I think on the plus side, I even got a roll of quarters in there. It was hilarious. So. And like, literally a roll of quarters.
So now that you have some money, now you need to take a vacation.
I do, and it's coming. I need to get a little more cash flow, because we do have three new projects coming on board soon, so there'll be some coin that comes with that. And still teaching. You know, I was supposed to hear back from the university on my schedule, but haven't heard anything yet. So I'll be checking in on that soon. But yeah, it's a blessing. It really is, because it's been a process, kind of tearing it all down and rebuilding it in a way that's more sustainable and that is going to feed me. Not literally, but spiritually, figuratively. I feel much better about the work I'm doing now than I did before.
Very good.
Yeah. And the way it's getting done. So, yeah. So, overall, a brother is tired and broken down, but good. So, with money to put in the bank, go figure. so, it's a good thing.
Anytime you have that, that's good.
Yes, vacation is coming, but... I'll be heading out of town in a couple of months, certainly. I did buy plane tickets and reserve hotels and registration and all that good stuff. So I will be heading out of town in June. And my travel buddy / travel husband may be joining me. We'll see. He has a couple of snafus in his schedule that have to be worked out, but he might be joining me. So, looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we ready to get into our...
I am ready.
Our new segment. Yay. This was your brainchild, so I'll let you introduce and kick it off.
I just thought it was really important to try to highlight some things that are good, or just things that are just black. Mm-hmm. Whatever, you know, so I came up with a list or with an idea. So, well, we should have a black list. Mm-hmm. A list of things that are favorite things that are black, or that actually doesn't have to be favorite, but just things that are black that we like, we admire, we hate, whatever, but just to get it out there. Mm-hmm.
And also reclaiming that whole idea of a black list being a bad thing. It's actually a beautiful thing.
Exactly. Yeah, that was kind of my, like, you know.
Yeah.
Bad, black is always like, oh, it's so bad, it's so terrible. But, you know, this is kind of a way to kind of, you know.
Yeah, black
is kind of sort of kind of reclaim it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay, works for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think today's picking favorite actress.
Yes.
Well, and I think we're going to do it 3-2-1.
Yes, and we're ping-ponging, I believe, back and forth.
So my number three is Alfre Woodard.
Oh, Madam Alfre. Okay.
Yes, yes. And I really liked her, in Luke Cage, mm-hmm. you know, because usually you don't see her playing kind of a bad person or a person who's running game and crime and, you know, kind of ratchet stuff, I guess you would say. Mm. So it was just nice to see her kind of in a different, you know, at least I'm not used to seeing her that way. There could be other things I just haven't seen she's done. So
yeah, well, she was.
And then I liked her.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Well, no, I wouldn't say that she was ratchet in Luke Cage. She was,
well, just, not ratchet, but yeah. I mean, just, you know, just
crooked.
She was.
She's yes, definitely yes, a villain.
That's probably a better word.
Yeah, she's yeah. definitely.
And when she was in 12 Years a Slave, she played one of the, you know, the house people, I'll say.
Oh, okay. She's Miss Sipsy. All right.
Yes, she was very, you know, prim and proper and, you know, a house person.
Okay.
that's the way I would describe her.
Okay, we're not very going... good. All right. I understand.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Alrighty. Well, yeah, I can definitely agree that Alfre is, you know, she's a bad one. I like Alfre.
Yes.
Yeah, my number three was actually Dame Angela Bassett. Yes, and it was like, it was, my top three was hard. I had like six names that immediately jumped into my head, and there's like a slither of distinction between my top three, so it's just
yeah. Well, Angela would have been was a potential one of mine too. I think yeah. she would definitely be a runner up for me.
Yeah, it was, you know, I mean, I because I was really deciding, you know, like my she was the one that made the cut for top three, but like my number four was Jennifer Lewis because, you know, I love Jennifer. She's off the chain. And then Felicia Rashad, you know, Mother Huxtable, and okay, the incomparable yeah. Loretta Devine were also in my honorable mentions. You know, so because I've seen Loretta on TV, I've seen her on stage, I've seen her in a one-woman show, and she's awesome.
A force to be reckoned with.
Yes, in ways that you don't even realize. You know, we take for granted that. Just because we see people acting, we forget that they also sing, they also dance, that type of thing. And she's a total package. So, yeah. Okay. But yeah, Angela, you know, she has the iconic moments. I mean, Waiting to Exhale, Bernadine, burning up all the shit. You know, talking about you're the poor motherfucking influence. That's just classic, you know, black cinema. Even in when she's been in terrible movies, she has been the standout. But I think the thing for me that has been really cool with Angela is that she's been able to transition to this new show, 9-1-1, where...
Yeah, I've not seen it yet, though.
Oh, you gotta see it.
I have not seen it.
Yeah, it's really good. I totally appreciate. You still get those Angela-isms where you get that anger and that fury because she plays a cop. And she's in an interesting family situation. So she's able to modulate that angry Angela, and mix it in with some Black Mama, you know, with folks are fucking with her kids, and it's not
Okay.
pretty. And I just, yeah, it's much watch tele must watch TV for me. I appreciate they did a short run because my schedule is hell, so I might have three or four episodes of it backed up. But I do watch them, and I'm just like, I don't know why I don't watch this every week. Whenever I finally do sit down to watch it, so because I got behind at a certain point about 3 weeks ago, and I'm playing catch up. I probably have five episodes of NCIS that I haven't watched, so and that's one of my as soon as it comes on, I watch it. At least on DVR, I'll watch it by Tuesday night. I'll put it that way. So I don't know. Who's your number two?
My number two is Regina Hall.
Ooh, I didn't even think of
Yeah,
Regina. Wow.
I like her.
I do
And
too.
part, and I actually really, really liked her. I started really liking her back in the Scary Movie days.
Yes, I was about to say Scary Movie. She was nuts. I loved her.
Yes.
Okay.
Because there was the one, I think I've seen all the Scary Movies. I think I've even seen the one that the Wayans didn't do, which I don't really remember.
Oh,
But I
yeah, it
don't know
was
if she's in that one or
terrible.
not.
Yeah, it was
But
awful.
the one that I really liked is when, and I'm sure all of them have, like, they're in a scary mansion or house or whatever. But there was the one, and I don't remember the comedian's name, but he was like their butler or something, and he's a comedian, but he was playing this character where he had one of his hands was really small, and it was very gross looking,
Yeah,
and
white guy, right?
he was serving, yes,
Chris or
and
something,
he was
though, yeah.
serving them food, huh?
His first name is Chris, I believe. I can see his face, but I can't think of his last name.
Yes. So yeah, he was serving them food, and I think at one scene he was serving mashed potatoes, and the little hand kept going in to the mashed potatoes, and just her reaction at being grossed out just had me just laughing, just like, oh, it was just wonderful.
Probably had that serious black woman like, I know this motherfucker ain't finger banging the mashed
Yeah,
potatoes.
but it
Wow.
was so her reaction to it was so funny. And then there was another part of that movie where, like, some skeleton or some monster, I can't even remember, had come back to life, and this thing was walking down the hallway, and I think one of the her friends was trying to go to it or something, and her reaction to her to that
Probably bitch
was also
run.
funny. It was just crazy. Just her reaction to it was just I just so it was just it was
Yeah,
hilarious.
wasn't
Just
she standing there
so
like,
I
I don't
love her
know
for
why
that.
white folks are always trying to go to the danger or something like that.
Yeah.
I just, yeah. I loved her definition of safe sex with she and I think Marlon Wayans, where they were basically having sex with the guns. Like she was riding him with her guns and they were like a compass. It was a mess. Like he was his arms were out and her arms were out and but she was like in a twist and so it's like no. It was a
Yeah.
mess. Oh gosh. Yeah, Regina.
And plus, I liked her in. She played a serious character in When the Bow Breaks. I liked that too. She was very serious. She was,
Oh. Haven't seen that.
trying. And I actually just watched it last week. It was on one of the channels. I recorded it. I thought, oh, let me watch this. So it was very good. Very
Okay.
good. But she was kind of a serious. It wasn't, obviously, it was not a comedy at all. But very good. So I just, she's one of those kind of like, if I see her, I'm going to watch it. If I see her in something, I'm going to watch it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I've seen her do anything serious yet, but I know she has a couple of those roles out there. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
All right, you're number two.
my
Yes.
number two is the incomparable Viola Davis.
Oh.
Obviously How to Get Away with Murder is fresh on the mind, but I haven't even watched I think I've watched 5 minutes or no, the first episode of the current season. So it's not even this thing of like, oh, because her show was on. It's like, no, Viola has done some pretty impressive work, including her scene in the movie Doubt, where she doesn't say a word, but I think she damn near won the Academy Award for the scene where she didn't say a word. She just sat there and looked at that man, and just had that look like, really, motherfucker? Really? So now if I bust a cap in your ass, you know, it was phenomenal work.
But did she win for the help? She won for the help or no?
She did, I believe. Which I still have not
We have to check on
seen.
that.
I just could not. We have the help here in the house. I haven't watched it. I just have not been able to bring myself to do it. Just like 12 Years a
Well,
Slave.
it's a good movie. There's some scenes that are difficult because nobody wants to see, us being mistreated or anything like that. So there are some difficult scenes, but the movie is good.
Oh, yeah, I heard it
I
was
think
good.
you like it.
I just, yeah, I went out and bought 12 Years a Slave when it came out on Blu-ray to support the production, and I knew at some point I'd be able to sit down and watch it, but I reached a point where I said I can't do any more black enslavement anymore of that. I just
Yeah.
cannot. So,
Well, that one's a little tougher.
yeah,
So.
I mean, I know even the help, because everyone was just like, oh, and I knew about, the pie and all that, and I just said, okay, well, I need to get some distance between myself and this movie, so when I do see it, it's not like, oh, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. Oh, yeah, I knew about that, and too many spoilers that I've been exposed to. So, okay. But yeah, Viola's just, I feel like she's almost like the Black Meryl Streep. She's definitely kind of venturing into that territory for me, just in a range of things. And just with Annalise Keating just being such a complex, tortured character, so she's a bad one. I love her.
Yes. She was one of my runner-ups though too.
Was she?
I don't have
Okay.
my runner-ups in any kind of order, but yeah, she
Okay.
was one of them that I thought I was kind of thinking about.
Okay. So who is your number one? This should be intriguing.
Well, we were talking about The Help, so
Oh,
my
that's
favorite
right.
is Octavia Spencer. Yes. So
Yes.
she was the one that baked the pie in The Help, the famous
Oh,
pie.
she made pie. Okay. Yeah.
Yes,
Oh,
she's the
that's
one.
right. I saw the
So,
meme with her at the door talking about I made a little pie for you.
yes, her
Wow.
name was Minnie in the
Minnie.
in yes.
Okay. Yeah,
Yeah,
eventually.
so yeah, I just and I think I really started liking her when I think I always liked her, but when I saw Fruitvale Station, it was just something was just different. Just made me click with her or something like that. So, because she played the mom
Okay.
of the guy that was killed. I can't remember his name at the moment.
Yeah. Oh.
Oscar Grant.
Yes, there we go.
And so just something about the way that she was, because she just seemed, I mean, it just seemed so real the way she was act, the way she acted, the way that she portrayed his mom. So I just liked her since then. And then I liked her in The Shack, which to me is a really good movie. That's the one where she plays God.
Yes.
And then there was, of course, Hidden Figures. I love that
Oh
too.
gosh, yeah.
So,
That's an awesome movie.
if I mean, my husband, anytime he's probably sick of it by now, but anytime Hidden Figures is on, if it's on, I have to watch it.
Uh-oh.
So he's like, "Oh my God, how many times have you seen this movie?"
Oh, that's your
So,
kingdom come, huh?
yeah, I have a few of those, but The Help is one of them.
Okay,
I mean,
yeah.
Hidden Figures is one of them.
Okay. Oh wow. Yeah, actually Hidden Figures. I've seen it twice in a theater, so I feel you on that. And Octavia is awesome.
Yes.
I and
So you're
it's
number one.
my number one was actually your number three. It was Alfre Woodard.
Oh,
Because Alfre has been
surprising.
in the game. 'Cause I could have easily said Cicely Tyson, but I went with Alfre because she has done a wide range of stuff. I remember her in one of the Star Trek movies. But I think what really sold it for me was Luke Cage, because she to watch her transform over the course of that first season just kind of like blew me away. Because, she was this bougie black woman that was, basically raised by, the Queen of Harlem. of the Harlem underworld, shall we say. And
Yes.
she was much more like her grandmother than she ever wanted to admit. And when she finally snapped at just the way she was so devious, and when she told homeboy, "I'll wear you out," when he was like, and because I think he was trying to flirt with her, she's like, "Boy, I'll wear you out." And I said, "Oh my gosh, yes, it's complete." I think had she been, it would have been interesting to have seen her as like a character, certainly not fighting anymore, but like as a character in Kill Bill, that would have been fascinating for me to see. But obviously, I don't think physically she would have, well, 10 years ago, she may have been up to that.
Well, yeah, she might
Yeah.
have.
I mean, yeah, Kill Bill was actually quite a while ago now, putting 15 years maybe.
Yeah, I think it's more than 10 years.
Yeah,
Way more than 10
so
years.
yeah, I mean, it would have been interesting to see her in a role in that somehow, or yeah, just her doing. So I like her as a criminal because she does have that ladylike thing about her, and but
That classy. She's
yes.
classy.
Yeah,
Yes.
she can give
Yes.
you classic lady, but then you know underneath there is like a raving bitch, and she brings that out so
Right.
well. She's like, "I'm not what you think I am, but I'm gonna show you what you want to see, but don't get caught slipping." So yeah, she just has range. But yeah, she's just one of those underrated treasures in my mind. So yeah, so that I think that about wraps up our blacklist. And if you have a suggestion for us on a blacklist you'd like us to do, send us an email at sexualhealingpod@gmail, or you can actually send that to us on Twitter at podsexual, or on the Facebook group, Sexual Healing from Top to Bottom. Because I suspect you don't need to be anonymous with those. So yeah, you can use any of those.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, unlike some of them wild letters we get. So.
Yes.
But okay, so we're gonna move on into our main topic now. This one's a little more, I don't know, we'll see where it goes. It seems a little more heady, a little more
Yeah.
serious, but I'm sure we'll find a way to make it to have those crazy ass moments in it. So we were thinking about, I think Darkboy and I were talking a couple of weeks ago just about this whole idea of growing up and how you're kind of coming into your own. And we talked about it in terms of making it into a show topic, the idea of integrating our blackness, our gayness, and our maleness. How did we do that? How did that come to pass? What are some of the things that, some of those salient moments in growing up and maturing that we recall that really jump out at us? So, would that accurately reflect your understanding of the topic?
Yes, except I think I'm still in the process of figuring all that out too. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know I am. It's like
Yeah,
it's definitely
okay.
not
Yeah.
done.
Yeah,
But
it's not done for me
yeah, I mean,
either.
we could certainly, we can talk about what has come to pass, I'll put it that way, thus far. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I don't know. I think for me, I know we're not doing coming out stories yet, but I think for me, it first started, certainly as a child, where I just knew that I was drawn to men in a way that wasn't quote unquote normal. And as I aged, kind of integrating that into my understanding of myself, definitely kind of took on a life of its own, where it was just this ongoing evolutionary process. Such that when I got to college and said, "Okay, well, this is an opportunity for me to be myself as I see myself and coming out," that's, I think, where the idea of these three identities really starting to merge. Because you had in college, a lot of us that go to college, we really kind of have more of an awakening to, black power, black liberation, civil rights. Even if you've kind of been involved in that work at the high school level and pre-college, back when we were going into college, that it took on another level because you had the education, you were encountering these professors and other professionals around you that just had that energy about themselves, and you were like, wow, this person's serious. And then you realize that this black skin is not just something we live in, like it's an issue. It's a thing, so to speak, that we, I know that I, growing up, was aware of, but never really understood the cost of it. I think watching Eyes on the Prize and, hearing about the civil rights movement, it just didn't hit me in a significant way before I got to college. I think watching something like Marlon Riggs, Tongues Untied, I watched that as a freshman. I'd never heard of him before, didn't know there were all these black gay male scholars out there and artists. It was one of those things where you're like, well, of course they were out there. But
Yeah, they had to be.
they had to be, but it never occurred to me like, oh, these are real concrete people, that there are parts of them, through their art and through their work that we could consume and identify with. And so that was one of those big changes for me, is when I, just being black, took on significance, understanding, being someone, I love that, same sex attracted. I still trip off of that special on TLC with the Mormons, but also same gender loving, whatever you want to call it. All those things took on significance, and then taking classes and being exposed to feminist theory and things like the male gaze and hegemony and patriarchy, all that stuff, it just went up to a whole nother level. Where, because to me, I was just me, and I grew up in a house full of women. I was raised by women, so of course they were powerful and equal figures in my head, but in the larger world, not so much. So, oh, that was the explosion of thought that came to
Yeah.
me after my monologue. So I'm gonna shut up now and leave some space for your thoughts. What's going on with you?
Well, kind of like you, I think when I, again, it's not a coming out thing, but I mean, like you, it's like I realized younger when I was, 5 years old or whatever, I was just different. And, in terms of when it came to like dealing with men or whatever. And I knew, like, because, when we first moved here, my family first moved here, everybody around us was white. There were no other black people. There were no other, there were a sprinkling or two of Latinos. So I knew that the different, but so, I mean, I knew I was different because I was, a lot of times I was the only black kid in class. And, but I still knew that there was something else different. And trying to pin that down and figure out what it was, I didn't know how to articulate it or whatever, but I just knew like there was always this thing in the back of my mind, something's different. I didn't think wrong or bad, but I just knew different. And it was separate from, because I mean, obviously the black thing you can see, you can see I'm a, I'm a black guy,
Yeah, there's
but
no
the gay
questioning
part,
that,
yeah,
with either of us.
so it,
It's like,
exactly, yeah.
yeah.
No one's gonna mistake us for, being so, anything else.
No. Yeah, if anything, we might shock them with an accent, but that's about it. Yeah, it's interesting.
And
Oh, go ahead.
yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say the idea of, because I didn't realize that you were typically the only black face in your classes and things like that. That was,
Yes.
I didn't know that about you.
Well, elementary school, by the time high school came around, then there was a lot more different races, but in elementary school, I mean, and I remember, and I still remember this, the first 2 days that I was at, because the first 2 days at the new school down here, I was afraid to go in the playground again because there was nobody else that looked like me. I mean, I was brand new, I didn't know, and so it took me 2 days to get courage to go in the playground. I would just stay in the hallway while I watch all the other kids play.
Oh, wow.
I know it sounds bad, but I got past it.
Well, yeah, and I think even that idea of getting past it is huge because,
It's tough.
yeah, it's such a process, and there's so much work that goes on inside of you that it's almost like the idea of being an overnight success. People, in their minds, you're an overnight success because you went from I didn't know this person to everybody knows them. Yet there's a whole lot that went on between where they were and where they are now.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of encountering that to a certain degree now with a number of the people in my life where they're like, you're a little different nowadays. And and initially I used to be a little taken aback by that, but I now get what they mean. And it's because I'm doing some work, on myself. Getting ready for what's to come and who I want to be there with me. So, yeah, but it's interesting because it's this torturous journey that's internal, but to them it seems like, oh, just suddenly you're just this new person today. And I'm like, no. It's like,
Yeah, took a while to get to this point.
yeah, I'm like, it was not sudden. That's like, if anything, he was percolating, but he just wasn't quite ready for prime time. Yeah, it's just, I don't know, and you were breathing. You were about to say something.
Well, I was gonna say you mentioned your college experience. Now, I didn't go to a 4-year university. I just went to a local community college. But then that's to me, like I was trying. So I, by that time, obviously, I knew I was gay, and I was trying to. So now, at that time, I was trying to actually integrate both, the gay side and the black side together. And so I thought I in college, though, I wasn't ready. They had formed a group. There was like a gay group, and I kept contemplating joining it, but then the schedule didn't really work. So at least at the by so I mean you were ahead of me that you realized certain things when you were in college, but when I was there, I was still trying to figure everything out. So, I mean, I was still trying to put everything together. And actually today I'm still trying to put things together, but I'm better off than I was back
Yeah.
then.
Well, I mean, and putting it together is it's a journey. I mean, it's not something that's easily done. I think when I've spoken, on the rare occasions that I've had a chance to speak to LGBTQ youth of color, it's so funny because they'll look at us and say, "Well, you have it so together." And I'm just like, "Who?" It's like I kind of look over my shoulder like, "You talking about me? Together, really?" I sometimes share that it's sometimes it's an illusion. We don't, folks aren't nearly as together as you think they are. It's
Yeah, they're together maybe for that moment, that brief window when you see them.
yeah. I think about a mutual acquaintance of ours on the younger side. I won't name names because I didn't get permission to do all that, but I ran into him one day at our local coffee house, and we're just sitting there talking, and he said something to me, and I said to him, I identified with him on that, and he just had this look on his face like, "Really, you?" And I'm like, "Yeah." I was like, "This shit ain't easy." I told him, I was like, "You're at an age now where you're having to really, you're able to think about this stuff and start putting it all together in different ways and really forging an identity for yourself." I said, "For those of us that are a bit older, it's an ongoing process. It's just growing up in general is challenging, from your teens into your early 20s, and then your mid 20s to into 30. There are stages to all this shit, and so, and all of us have our things. It's certainly not just us as same gender loving men of color. Everybody has their shit. I just think that it's different layers because you got class in there. There's all kinds of shit, and it's never this straightforward, easy process. And I remember telling him that, each morning I get in the mirror and I put on my armor to go deal with the world. Because it's not, as a black man, there's shit that I'm gonna have to deal with in any given day that other people don't have to. That they take for granted. And, because once you're aware of privilege and what's not available to you and just the cost of the color of your skin, it makes getting through the day a little more interesting because you don't know what else is going to be revealed to you moment to moment. And then how do you maintain your self-esteem and keep your self-concept intact in the midst of all that new information that can really fuck with your head? And I think it was for him, it was definitely like an eye-opening encounter, like, oh, well, shit, I hadn't even thought about that at all. And to which I just said, yeah, it's this shit ain't easy. It's not easy. It's challenging. So.
You mentioned, being a teenager. I thought that that it was, I can't say not right, but it just was incompatible to be a strong black man and be gay at the same time. And I just didn't, I didn't think that both were compatible. Like you could, be strong and be gay. And the sad thing to say is I think that there was, and I probably had got that, implanted in my mind just from society or whatever. But I do remember there being a movie. I'm not gonna say the name of the movie, but I do remember there being a movie, and there was a guy, black guy in that movie that played basically a flaming queen. And I think that is, I think for some reason that image stuck in my mind well, I can't be that because you can't really be a strong black person and then, be a quote unquote queen at the same time. So, and just as we're talking about it, it's kind of coming back to me. I'm like, well, yeah, I really did, because there are some people that I know their thing was, don't be a wimp, don't be a wimp, don't be a wimp. So when you have that, constantly being said to you, and you kind of think, wow, you can't be gay and black at the same time. And those that are all, like the guy I saw in the character I saw in that movie. So,
I'm trying to remember what movie that was, what character that was.
I
Wow.
mean, I could say it. I mean,
Well, yeah, I mean, if it's a movie or a character, yeah.
yeah, I don't know the character's name, but the movie was Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, yes, Marcus.
Yes.
Oh
I don't know
gosh. Yeah, he was.
I could see him, but I don't know the actor's name or anything.
Oh, I can see him. I can totally see him 'cause he had on the pink leg warmers with the flimsy javelin. Yeah, I watched that movie so many times. And he was part of it. Yeah. Gosh, I think his name was Marcus.
And not that that movie was like some big cultural, I mean, it was a comedy, it was supposed to be funny or whatever. I just think I happened to see it at a time where, it just kind of things aligned. I'm like, oh, wow, I really can't be like that. Or if I say I'm gay, that's really what it's, I'm gonna be like that, Yeah, so just the timing, I think, of the release of that, or when I saw it, I guess. And I'm gonna say, we don't, I mean, I think maybe now we're kind of sort of trying to see or be shown that you could still be a strong black man and gay, like we saw. I don't know if you saw Moonlight.
Of course. Multiple times. I took the train to downtown LA to see that on opening
Oh,
day. It's like, yes. Oh,
So to me,
gosh.
that movie kind of has it, the everything kind of integrate. I'm not that his life is completely perfect or, there aren't drama, there isn't drama, but at least in that sense, he's black and gay and it was okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is interesting because I remember going back to the character Revenge of the Nerds. That was definitely a turning point of some kind for me. I can't remember exactly how it was. I think his name may have been Lamar.
Yes.
Impacted me.
Yes, and
Yeah, it's
Yes.
coming
Oh,
back
and
to
do you
me.
know, I had people calling me Lamar in school. It didn't go too far.
Oh,
But when
wow.
that movie came out, yes, I had people, some kids trying to tease or bully. Yes, I do remember that. Didn't happen. It didn't last long. But yes, I was called Lamar on more than one occasion after that movie came out.
Okay. Wow.
Dang.
Yeah. I mean, and it's interesting because I certainly grew up being called, well, nah, I ain't gonna get into all that. But it's just, but yeah, it's, I just remember Lamar's character being very clever to me because he was the stereotypical character, but he was also the jock of the fraternity. He could hold his own with any of the football jocks that were in the movie, and he definitely, there was just a certain strength to him in that he was unabashedly who he was. He was very open. He just, yeah, I mean, I like when he was working with Wormser, the little boy, with the
Oh my gosh, you
aerobics
remember
and,
details that I do not remember of
oh yeah, I
the
remember him doing aerobics and yeah, it looks great. Touch your toes, warm. So yeah, I remember all that shit. You know how my memory is. Stuff comes
Yes.
out of nowhere, and yet
It's
I can't.
evolved.
Yeah, and then I can't remember the name of a person I was just talking to 5 minutes ago, but I can remember a movie from 25 years ago. Actually, what, 30? 30 some odd years ago. I can't
Yes,
even
God,
say
it had to be
20.
the 80s. It was in the 80s. It had to be, yeah.
Oh gosh, that's scary to think that we had shit that we are consciously aware of from 35 years ago.
I
Oh,
know.
how we're getting old. Oh
I
my
know.
God. Oh, we're getting old. And it's so funny because I'm still called a kid by so many people. Just because I
Well,
yeah, professionally and
because they're older than
otherwise.
you, right?
Huh? Yeah, they are. I mean, some of them
They're
are.
older than you, yeah.
Yeah, they got 20, 30, 40 years on me. So yeah, I mean, I run in some older circles where I'm encountering folks that are much more further along the life cycle. But yeah, I mean, that character, and I'm trying to think of another one that really just kind of yeah, I would actually have to say being exposed to that black gay renaissance almost with the Marlon Riggs and the Essex Hemphill, Asado Saint, learning Langston Hughes's tea,
Yeah.
you know, just a lot of those guys and some of the movies that came out, you know, about them and the documentaries, you know, Marlon Riggs's work was really very, had a big impact on me because it was this integration, you know, because I remember in the when I first saw Tongues Untied, it was in a class my freshman year in college, and there was this, they had this segment where they had this guy saying, you know, when it comes down to it, are you black or are you gay? Because you can't be both, and
Yeah.
even if you are, you got to choose. You don't get to straddle the fence. You know, we need to know when the war comes down, what side are you on? Because the implication was, is that if you identified as gay, that you were somehow less black, if not just white.
Yeah.
And so,
You're gonna be with the white folks.
yeah, and you know, and I mean, you still have that shit going on with folks trying to identify, you know, homosexuality as a, you know, white European invention, and it's not native to Africans and so on and so forth. And I'm like, y'all, really? You're
Yeah,
kidding.
I think there's a lot. There's a lot of black people that think that it's a white thing that, you know, we have been quote unquote infected with.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it may be a pretty unpopular thing to say, but I feel like, you know, that wasn't the only quote unquote infection that was brought, you know, by whiteness. I would say
Well,
that,
yeah.
you know, slavery and a lot of the mentality that came with it, whether it be around self-concept as black folk, and our worthiness, but also I think the stripping away of a lot of our cultural heritage, you know, from the motherland, particularly in faith traditions. I just feel like, you know, Christianity, the ways that it was introduced to us and has been used to oppress, and
Yeah.
it does a real disservice to our community. Continuing, it's like a death vice. You know, when you, yeah, when you look at it, but.
I saw something on Facebook the other day, and I should have saved it. And somebody had posted a quote from the Bible, that a verse, whatever, that people had used back in the day to justify slavery. And I thought, gosh, you know why? And part of me was like, why are we? Why are the, and this could be a whole different show, but I mean, I probably was like, why are so many of us Black people so invested in the Bible when, you know, stuff like that to me, it doesn't seem like that. To me, that was written by a man. You know, that wasn't written by a higher being. That wasn't written by God. You know, because why would that be part of it? You know what I mean? Why would that be? Why would you there be a justification for slavery? Why would that be? How can that be right?
It
And
seems
so
very
sometimes I'm like, gosh, why
self-serving.
are so many of us following that?
Yeah, it's very self-serving. I mean, obviously, 'cause I just saw something recently where they had the quote-unquote slavery Bible. And I don't know if it was real. You know, there's so much information out there now, and I didn't do any research on it, but they had this version of the Bible that was allowed for slaves, I'm guessing after the emancipation, where it was really kind of designed to designate a certain social space or order to freed blacks. Because it just, and again, I just, knowing that that type of thing exists, or even the idea that it might exist, it just, it irks the hell out of me for starters. But I think it's just, I feel like when I think about how a lot of us in our families have been disowned, put into the streets, we continue to be downgraded, have our masculinity questioned, you name it. When I feel like, you know, in a lot of cases, we are, you know, we don't have exactly the same burden as a lot of our sisters do in terms of holding up this community, but certainly, we are right there in the trenches a lot of times, providing them with the ammo and getting the rations to them, to keep them in the fight, and also us fighting as well. I just look at the work that I've done in service to my community in philanthropy, and the costs associated with that work to me personally. And it pisses me off to have, you know, some idiot sit up here and question my blackness because I might happen to appreciate some dick or some ass on occasion. Really? It's like, you
I know
know,
that happens.
I'm like the very thing that you're getting on me for appreciating. You want women to turn around and appreciate and worship in you. And I'm not even gonna get into that conversation
That could
today.
be it. That could be another
That's
show.
another show. It's, I mean, it's the second time it's come up though, but just with brothers that are all talk and they are not honoring responsibilities. They are not, I don't even say taking their place, 'cause I don't know what their place is. But certainly not stepping up to the positions that are kind of being offered to them, or that people have reserved for them. I'll put it that way. But yeah, I'm gonna keep my pressure in order this morning.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to get all upset.
I don't know. I'm curious. I'm always, you know, when we talk about something, I'm always curious what other people have to go through. Like, I'm assuming, and just based on the culture and based on magazine covers and the news and everything, I'm assuming that there's white people that just do not have to go through this. That the majority do not have to go through where they're not less white if they're gay. To me, the two are, I mean, in gay world, it's like white is at the very, very top. So there's never any question, but I'm just curious about that. I mean, do Asian people, is there some Asian people that have to go through this? Latino? Well, you know, I just, maybe
That.
Latino a little bit because you have that machismo thing that people do
Oh
talk
yeah.
about. So maybe there's some of that there too, but,
Well, I think also in a lot of Asian cultures, yeah, the concept of honor, and either honoring the family or honoring, you know, the masculinity that of that role within a family structure is huge. I'm trying to think of what I've, because I know I've had these conversations with friends from different cultures in the Latinx diaspora as well as any sort of Asian, Pacific Islander, Far East, so to speak. And I'm sure there are things there. Maybe we need to have some conversations with those guys as well, just to in the spirit of unity and bringing folks together, because I do think that there are a lot of things that divide us in the community.
I agree.
Yeah. The show topics just keep flooding out.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll have to keep track. But I think, I don't know, I feel like we may have to pick this one up in another episode. I think we barely even scratched the surface on it. Alrighty, so let us move forward then. Did you have any closing thoughts before we did that, though, on the main topic?
Just that I think we have to visit it again, obviously, and have a longer discussion. And you know, it's always something like this always makes me think back to things that have happened. And so, you know, bringing up the movie and the character and all, you know, I had forgotten about all that. And so, just even talking about this kind of brings things back up. So, I think we should probably, you know, have a part two to talk about things that have come up since the, you know, since we're having this discussion, you know, that might be.
Okay. Alrighty. Yeah. I guess my closing statement would be to be continued.
Yes. Well, you're always so much better at that stuff than I am.
I have my moments where I can be succinct.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll move into our next segment, which hopefully will be a bit lighter. It's like, as a little heavy. So we'll now head into Ask Your Brista. And our first letter, this person is anonymous, so I'm sure a name will come up for her as the letter is read. Okay, so she says, and these are letters from women sent to us as gay guys asking for advice. So she says, I've been dating a guy for about 4 months. He could be the one, except for one thing. There's always that dreaded except for, right? Oh. She says, his balls smell.
Oh, God.
I've put him in a shower and blown him in there, and his balls still stink. I really like him, but I can't deal with smelly balls. Help. She kept it to the point.
Yeah. You got to tell him. I mean.
Oh, Lord. I think he knows.
Well.
I
mean, he needs to go to the doctor or something. I don't know. I mean, how. I don't know. He says something isn't right. You know, is he. Mm-hmm. Does he exercise a lot? Does he. Wearing sweaty underwear or something? What is it? You know?
I wonder if it's a scent that basically is really off-putting to her versus he really stinks. Because, you know, you just have... Yeah. I mean, there have been a couple of exes where I'm like, ooh, your hair just... Oh. Something about your scalp that just smells... Oh, I don't like that smell. And there was another one that used this body lotion that had some sort of flower or herb or something in it that I did not like. It just, ooh. So I don't.
But someone else might like it, right? Or it might not have bothered them.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably something else that someone else was better positioned to appreciate than I was. And so, yeah, I guess obviously she has, as she said, she put him in the shower and she scrubbed them balls and they were still stinking. So it sounds like it's either that's his scent and it really doesn't work for you, or there could be something medically going on there.
Well, or maybe it's not the balls. Is his taint all dirty? Is the ass dirty? I mean, is it something?
Well, I would hope she would, you know, deodorize the crack. She got him in the shower.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but if you scrubbed them and there's still something going on, then maybe it's not the balls. Maybe it's something
Yeah.
else.
It's are the balls particularly hairy? Is the crotch hairy? Are you sure it's the balls and not just the whole region? I mean, if it is a body hair, because body hair can trap some scents and some
Yeah.
odors like nobody's business.
Or probably prevent it from getting as clean as it could be.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's a tough one.
I'm just trying to think of a good answer. I would even try using a different soap or different body wash, whatever you're using. I would just try that, see if that works. I mean, and I'm curious, does he know it's happening? I mean, does he? I mean, you say he knows, but then does he know it's bothering her?
I don't
Yeah, I
know.
think my thing always goes back to talk. You got to talk it out. You just got to say it. Yeah, you always have, because like you're doing all the work. I mean, if the Miss Anonymous is, she's the one scrubbing his balls. Well, he should be scrubbing his balls.
Yeah, he needs to go on a ball
I
care regimen.
agree. Yeah, I think honestly, if he's really hairy down there, start trimming and shaving. Possibly use a different, but not shaving clean. I'm not talking about, but I'm just saying, yeah, just shaving and just, trying different soap, maybe a different body wash or something, and then see how it goes, because nobody wants to deal with that.
Yeah, I mean it's certainly, I mean unless you're into the whole man smells thing, then okay. He's
Well, okay, yeah, I take that back. Some people are. She obviously is not.
Yeah, she's not. I mean, I'm sure there are women are out there who are into it, but they tend not to broadcast that kind of thing. Wow. Yeah, I mean it sounds, this brings up like a an erotic story that I read, or like a memoir or something like that, where this guy had a roommate that just had a very aromatic crotch, shall we say. And he said it wasn't necessarily a hygiene thing, that was just his smell, because the guy he you know I think the roommate took a shower and came out, and I think he knew that, the protagonist in the story was gay, and he just kind of decided to have a little fun with him, and threw the balls all in his face and said, "You like that stink, don't you?" And so, and he's like, "I could smell the soap, but it only just muted to a certain extent his normal scent." And I, it, like he said, his balls had the room lit up, just.
Wow, see,
And I said, "Ooh, that's a rough roommate." Ooh, wow, yeah. So I don't know. I would just say, girl, you might wanna, may wanna address that in some shape or fashion.
yeah, but I think it needs to be more on him a little bit, because I mean, she's done. I mean, she's done. She's done it. She's she tried to. She didn't just sit there and complain and complain and complain. She actually scrubbed them for him. So, I think he needs to figure out, okay, is it just the balls? Is it the red? Is it the taint and ass and all that kind of stuff? Or is it that's just his smell and
Yeah, it might be
they're
a
just not compatible
combo.
for that reason? I don't know.
Yeah, I think, well, if she hasn't already, sister, if you haven't already, you may want to sit down and have a very frank conversation with him. And not so much to criticize his balls, but just to talk about the fact that you've noticed this and you just want to know if he's aware of it. And is there a medical issue that maybe he needs to be paying attention to?
Yeah.
Because stank ass balls like that, I don't know if that's normal. It's like we all have a scent, but it shouldn't be
Yeah.
that damn overpowering.
See, and I've heard of stories of, in the heterosexual world, of men complaining about the scent of their girlfriend or whatever, and that no matter what they do, it still is very unpleasant. So to me, this is kind of the same thing, just in reverse. I mean, it's a guy this time, and it's and I think you might be right. Certain people just have a certain scent that is just not gonna agree with everybody.
Yeah, not everybody can appreciate what they bring in. So, yeah, but I think definitely if you haven't already talked to him, you might want to have a very serious upfront conversation with him about this. That'd be a good starting point for you. And, kind of go from there. But
All right. You ready for helping Brother out?
sure. Who we helping today?
Yes. We're going to help Mr. Adam from Portland, Oregon.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I've been dating a man for about 8 weeks now, and it's starting to get serious. Lately, though, a couple of things have started to bother me. For one thing, I only have his work number. And when I asked for a different number, he got kind of evasive, muttered something about office voicemail, and then changed the subject. We never go to his place because he says it's too small. Do you think this is an intimacy issue, or does he have a boyfriend?
I would say he has something that he's working on the side. I don't know. It seems a
Yeah, me too.
little, there are just too many reasons for you not to be in his world. For my comfort, I would just say, if you can't do no better than this.
Yeah, because who doesn't at least give you a cell phone number? I mean, in today, if this was 20 years ago, okay. But you don't even have a cell phone? You only have his work number? Something is not right with that. I mean, he could have a small place, but he still, if he has a bed, if he has a table where you could sit down and eat something or, sit in the bed and watch TV, you could still do that. After you've done your stuff. So, I mean, it's like, yeah, even if it's small, there's still space. There was still like space to do stuff. So something doesn't sound right with this one at all.
Yeah, he's, I mean, and either way, even if there's nothing, like say that there is no one else, the fact that he's this secretive and has this many barriers between the two of you, it says that he has some intimacy issues and commitment issues that you're probably gonna have to scale Everest to overcome, and it may not be worth it on the at the top of the mountain. Or that he is really that guarded and that close to where he's not going to be emotionally available to you, not in the ways that you would need and hope for him to be.
He's not ready yet. He's not ready yet. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, he just sounds like he got problems. There's some issues there. And it's unfortunate. I would give you that. It sucks, It's but it's hard enough finding someone that you're like, oh, I like you. It's even harder finding one where you can appreciate or tolerate their issues.
Yeah, and part of it, I think he probably would is closeted. I mean, he could be
Yeah,
closeted,
could be.
and
So he need to
which is
get a
why you
home
only have his
phone.
work number. Well, that's what I'm saying. So yeah, so it still seems weird to not have to only have his work number. That's the only one you have. That doesn't sound right. So yeah, because I mean, yeah, it could be intimacy. It could be a boyfriend. It could be all these things, and it depends on how much effort you are willing to put into it to find out what it is. Or it could be more than one issue, but I mean, you say 8 weeks, so 8 weeks, it's not too long, but.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems to me that it's a lot to have to deal with. It's just some extra shit. I mean, it's hard enough. Just in a good situation, doing the work that's necessary to maintain a good relationship. It just seems to me like this is a lot of extra. And you shouldn't have to be that much of an investigator.
Yeah, pulling teeth trying to just get basic stuff.
Yeah. I would say, I would basically say at this point to pose some very direct questions to him. About where he is on all this, and what is the reasoning beyond his apartment being too small, and all the other stuff. It's like, yeah, that might be true. However, and then just really kind of digging in there and saying, look, this is stating your expectations. What is it, you know? And it's not like you're just some nutbag out of nowhere saying, "Well, this is what I expect from you." It's like, no, you
Yeah.
guys have a relationship of some kind at this point. I don't think there's anything wrong with you saying, "This is what I need or expect from you to remain in this relationship."
Yeah, you're not asking him to marry,
No.
to get married, so he shouldn't be freaked out or, but yeah, something isn't right.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. I mean, if someone comes at me with those kinds of things, I'm like, yeah, you got to go. It just,
Yes.
yeah, it's,
All right, Adam. Good luck with that one. Let us know how that goes.
Keep it real, Adam.
That ends. Help a brother out. And if you have questions that you would like us to answer, go ahead and email. You can do anonymous too if you want to. You can email us at sexualhealingpod@gmail.com. Same thing for the helper, for help Vesta. Send your emails to for just put it in the subject that it's either help a brother out or ask your Vesta. I think I said it wrong the first time. And so
Possibly.
we know. And that is, as far as I know, that is it for.
That's all I got. Yeah. I don't know. So once again, we thank you for joining us on this episode. Hopefully we gave you some food for thought, and I think I'm gonna put up a question or some sort of poll or something on Facebook or Twitter to kind of get some of your thoughts on those moments in life, those big turning points for you, so to speak. And we can use to continue our conversation. But I think we're definitely not done. We're going to continue this conversation. So keep an eye out for that. And
Yeah.
as always, you can reach us on Twitter at PodSexual. You can reach us on Facebook at Sexual Healing from Top to Bottom. And we're also on Instagram at Sexual Healing Pod. We're not even gonna talk about Pinterest because they some
Right.
dirty bitches. And yeah, so definitely we appreciate all of you that have subscribed already. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Google Play Music as well as Stitcher. Did I do? I can't remember if I
Yeah,
did
but
Stitcher. Oh, SoundCloud. Definitely did SoundCloud. Stitcher, I think, is in
yeah,
progress. So you can find us in all
and
those different platforms.
Downcast too.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, actually, because we're on
Downcast.
Apple, they should have access to all of the other ones. Yeah, we should be okay. Yeah, so we look forward to hearing from all of you. We appreciate the opportunity to be in dialogue. And we will catch you next week. We always come out on Wednesdays. I think we've solved the browser upload crisis at this point, so I think we'll,
Right.
because that has been a pain. That's been a new issue that we did not see coming. So yeah, so that's what we got going on, and
All part of the struggle.
it is the struggle is real. It never goes away. It just changes its shape, that's all. But okay. So, until the next time, have a good one. Keep that head up, keep growing, keep healing. All right. Take care, guys and gals. All right.
Yes, and gals, everybody.
Everybody, take care, y'all.